The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
And this is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. To look back at the big stories of the week, I'm joined by Francis Fitzgerald, MEP for Dublin and Vice President of the EPP Group, Jennifer Whitmore, TD for Wicklow and spokesperson on climate, environment and biodiversity. And finally, People Before Profit, TD for Dunleary, Richard Boyd Barrett, who is, of course, their spokesperson on housing and further education. And obviously, there are stories close to home which we must get to. But I think in the week that's in it, it would be remiss not to start with the extraordinary political scenes that we've seen across the water. Before we get to who might be the next Tory leader and what happens to the UK, what did you make, Richard Boyd Barrett, of seeing things like weeping MPs being shoved by whips into the chamber?
I mean, you honestly could not make it up, you know? I mean, this is like real life being stranger than fiction. The whole thing is extraordinary. I have to say, I find it pretty gratifying to see the hard right of the Tory party tearing themselves apart and totally discrediting themselves. And I hope it ushers in or opens the space for, you know, a progressive move in British politics for real change. Although
at the moment, it's opened the space for Labour.
Well, indeed. And that's preferable to the Tories, although I'm not entirely sure Sir Keir Starmer is necessarily going to deliver the change that is necessary. But at least it discredits a particularly obnoxious aspect of British politics. And that has to be a good thing.
There's one bit of this that I haven't been able to fully wrap my head around, Jennifer, which is that in any political appointee, they come with people around them. So that there is a team who has wedded themselves to their candidate. They have been working with them for some time. And you would assume that they would bring some level of competence. And if they don't, you would assume that there's a civil service there that brings some level of competence. How did all of that dissolve with Liz Truss?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the situation is just absolutely, it's bonkers. You know, like when you're watching it, it's like watching a horror movie when your hands over your eyes and you're sort of peeking through your fingers to see what happens. But it seems that she was sort of destined to fail from the very start. She didn't have that strong team, that group of supporters around her. She didn't have good advisors, obviously, because, you know, she tanked the second she got in. And the people who were close to her, she sacked. You know, so I think it's, you know, I think she was never ever going to stay in that position long. I think it's taken everyone by surprise how quickly it's happened. You know, but it is, when you look across the water, it is an absolute crazy
situation. When you
say
how quickly it happened, like the Daily Star, the newspaper, they set up this thing where they had a lettuce and a picture of Liz Truss. And they did a live stream and said, will she outlast the lettuce? Yeah. And everybody thought, well, it's mean and it's kind of funny, but of course she'll. And then we discover, no, actually, the lettuce literally lasted longer.
The lettuce shelf life is much, much better, I think, than Liz Truss was this week, which, you know, which says a lot. And I suppose the question is now, where to now, and whether anyone can actually take up that mantle, and will they stay in any length of time, you know, or will they end up going to a general election? I think the one thing that I find absolutely bizarre or fascinating about this whole thing, and it's quite sad, is that we're having a lot of discussions about politicians, about ministers, about who keeps their seat, who could be getting promotions. And the whole fact that the UK is in such a difficult position at the moment, that there's so many facing real problems, facing poverty, fuel poverty, food poverty, and that's not part of the discussion at all. It's all about politicians and who you know, the sort of political manoeuvrings, which I think is a sort of a very bad illustration of how difficult it is over
to
there.
To continue in that vein, as much as we may spend time watching the political spectacle from this side of the Irish Sea, from our perspective, it is not a good thing, Francis Fitzgerald, to have the UK in a shambles.
No,
we have long been in lockstep with them.
You shouldn't be sneering at them. I mean, it's extraordinary to see. You asked why she's so isolated. She's isolated because all of her economic policies and the ERG's policies, I agree with Richard on that, they're based on a sort of mirage. And this is what led us to Brexit as well. So, no, we need the British economy doing well. We're still a lot of our exports, 30% going there. We need a stable government to sort out the protocol and to deal with the issues around Northern Ireland. So, I mean, this is not a good situation. And depending on what happens, it could continue. And you could have a hasty general election there. But I agree with you. There's no, you couldn't put any money on stability coming into the British politics, no matter what the outcome is.
Thankfully, though, Richard, it looks like Boris Johnson is going to step back in and solve all the problems.
Well, I mean, seriously, you know, if they go back there, it's difficult to know what to really say. But I hope they don't. And a general election is the best outcome, to be honest. I mean, I think
But if you're a Conservative backbench MP, you'd be out of your tree to allow a general election.
Tree, and they'll probably cling on. But I do think, you see, like, there is, you know, it's always the economy in the end. And the backdrop to all of this is something that is not uniquely British, although they're suffering a particularly acute example of it. But actually, the cost of living crisis, the energy crisis, the housing crisis. I mean, I'm actually speaking at a housing seminar that's about the British housing crisis at the weekend. And they have exactly the same housing crisis that we have.
It's right across Europe, actually. Yeah. There's a housing crisis right across Europe, particularly in cities.
Yeah.
You just see it in almost every country. And it's becoming more and more a European topic because people are saying, should we not be investing more at a European level to help countries provide more housing? Yeah. And that's a very real debate, which you never had a few years ago.
No, absolutely.
And of course, but the big difference between the UK situation and the Irish situation is whatever our problems may be, we have a war chest of both personal and corporation taxes to pay for a lot of things, whereas the British are now entirely beholden to the markets and being led and said by the markets.
Yeah, I'm not sure, though, that we're that much different in that regard.
Oh, yes, we are. A fully funded budget from our own taxation.
Yeah, we have it.
We have a lot of 45 billion of unfunded tax cuts.
We have a lot of windfall revenues. I'm not disputing that. But as even the kind of very mainstream economists are saying, this is an unreliable basis for future spending. Now, what it can be and should be spent on, and this is something I've been really arguing for, is capital investment in things like public and affordable housing, because that is a good investment, right? It's revenue generating, but it also solves a major problem. And in fact, it saves money for the state, because at the moment we're spending nearly €1 billion in RAS and HAPS and leasing payments to private landlords, right? So by actually buying housing and building housing, public and affordable housing, we solve a major social crisis, but it's also good investment of that money.
But of course, Richard, this year we're putting £4.5 billion into housing from this year's budget alone. So, you know, you talk
about... That's not strictly true, Francis.
You talk about the money that's coming from, the international companies here. It is being invested in this country.
But there's an element of stable door and horse bolting. It is trying to solve a problem that is now long endemic in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not new to the housing problem.
Yeah. No, we're not. But think about where we were 10 years ago. I mean, ghost estates... value gone out of the property market. No sovereignty.
But it's 5 years since we are saying there is a housing crisis.
But you can throw as much money at a situation as possible, but the outcomes aren't there. You know, none of the targets are being met when it comes to social or affordable housing, cost rental. The government hasn't met any target yet. And actually, in fact, when you look at where that, the 4 billion went to, nearly €1 billion of it went to developers. €450 million went to paying back the leases, and then another €450 million went to give developers money to build apartments.
Absolutely.
Right. So when the government's compass is constantly pointed towards corporates or private interests, we will always have a whole group of people whose needs aren't being met by the state, and they will become disaffected. And so whilst we're not as bad as the UK, obviously, and thankfully we're not in that situation, we are in a situation where a lot of people are not being looked after properly.
Well, while we're on the topic of housing, Jennifer Whitman, what's your reaction to the proposed eviction ban?
So, look, I think it's indicative of the fact that that our housing system has failed, that the housing market has failed, and that government policies have failed. It's a very temporary ban, and it is a necessary ban. Like in my constituency, I get so many people coming into me. Landlords are selling up, and they're looking for somewhere to rent, and there is just nowhere to rent or nowhere that's affordable for them to rent. They're having to pluck their children out of school, out of their friends' groups, out of their own communities.
But is the assumption not therefore that this will all change by March or April? What evidence is there that will happen?
Well, it won't change, but I suppose what it means is it'll give people a bit more breathing space. And but what we need the government to use this period to ensure that there is fast action when it comes to building cost rental and affordable accommodation. Now, I know it's only a matter of months, but they still need to really, really treat this like the emergency that it is. It is unacceptable. We have communities disintegrating all over the country because people can't afford to be within their own community networks. And it's going to lead to a huge amount of problems, and it has done And it's, you know, but like, I suppose what this with this emergency ban will mean is that we won't have people on the streets over the winter period. And that, that is, that's absolutely critical, you know, absolutely critical.
I think, I mean, you also need the housing situation is very difficult, obviously. We need far more houses than we have. We need to increase supply. But I'm not sure that either of you have given the full picture, because the full picture is that there are improvements. The minute you say that, people jump down your neck and say, no, 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 there's a huge housing problem. But I mean, if the other figures you need to look at are home completions, commencements, permissions that have been given, home purchases, first time buyers and mortgage drawdowns are all very encouraging. They're all going in the right direction. Obviously, it
but
has
they're
to
still
be,
miles away from where they need yeah. to be.
Yes. And you have to look at the reasons for that. The way that demand has accelerated, the number of new people coming into the country for jobs, very welcome. The economic success.
I mean, there is a huge housing demand out there, and we have to accelerate the supply.
Everyone accepts that. We have that point.
First of all, the government were dragged kicking and screaming into the eviction ban, right? Which some of us have been calling for a year or two. In fact, they should never have lifted the COVID eviction ban. And by the way, there's a big hole in that. Something I tried to highlight yesterday, is that people who had notice to quit before the bill comes in, the emergency period, which will start next week, will still be evicted, right? And if the government doesn't amend that, actually a huge number of evictions that they...
Can you just explain this to me, Richard? Because this I still don't quite get. The eviction ban, I could understand its efficacy if at the end of it you were saying we will then be in the sunlit uplands and there won't be a problem.
Absolutely.
But how does it solve any issues to say, well, we won't evict you now, but brace yourself, in 5 to 6 months we're kicking you out?
Well, in our view, the ban should be at least a year, okay? But you're absolutely right. Either way, there has to be then solutions beyond the ban, okay? Because that in and of itself does not solve the problem. And we have a motion that will be going to the Dáil next week to be voted on that is proposing solutions that could immediately impact on the situation. Okay, so number one is we need to buy, the state needs to buy any home or tenancy where the landlord is exiting. You know this debate that landlords are exiting the market? There's a very simple way to solve that. The state buys those houses so they don't exit the market. They keep the tenants in situ and you increase the public and affordable housing stock. But I think we need to go beyond that. There is houses being built, as Francis said, but the problem is the vast, vast majority of the ones that are being built are totally unaffordable. The rents are off the Richter scale or the house prices are off the Richter. The state, again, should buy those. Okay, at the moment, we get 10% of any new development in social housing. That should be, in my opinion, 50%.
But we're still left in a corner, which is we don't have enough properties. Even if you manage to maintain the ones that are already there, you have to get more production.
The other area, as the census demonstrated, is there's 160,000 empty properties in the country now. And if we made a serious push to take those back into use, to put the money into refurbishing those, we could make a very significant impact quite quickly, but that is not happening at the moment.
Jennifer Whitmore, you want to come in?
Yeah, could I just come back in on a few of the points that Francis made? Like, I personally would absolutely love to see this government be successful when it comes to housing, because we need government to be successful in this regard. But the bar is so low that, you know, even if there's been improvements, the bar was so low that those improvements are still not meeting the targets. They're not what's needed. And they're absolutely minuscule. When you're talking about figures, we have 3,220 children who are homeless at the moment. That's up 47% the last year. We've 10,800 people who are homeless. That's up 32%. Rents have doubled in the last decade. Dublin's the most expensive city in the, like, every single metric that you can look at, we are failing spectacularly. So, you know, there was a housing crisis declared in 2014 by Fine Gael. You know, that is a long time. And there was plenty of time to get this problem fixed and it has not been fixed. So any tiny improvements that are happening, they are not enough. They're not happening quickly enough. And there isn't enough focus on government in delivering for
Francis
people.
Sherry, because you want to
idea, well, what met. I would say is the idea, it's kind of like a presentation almost of a failed state, which of course Ireland is not. I mean, there is some selective picking out of figures. The homelessness issue is very serious, no question of it. 10% increase in funding per year this year, bringing it to 250 15 million to try and help. We will get breathing space with the decision on evictions. But, you know, you also have to look at the highest number of houses this year completed to the end of June. 25,000 new homes were completed. I mean, you can't magic up the 50,000 that we probably need, actually. But all the plans are in place. The money is there. The commitment is there. The change to planning laws. It's not as if there are ideas out there that haven't actually been taken on board by the government and that it isn't the top priority, which it is.
Although I suspect that the response will be, we have heard this.
Well, first of all, I mean, and I don't like to look back too much because we need to solve the problem now. But the truth is, we are undoing the damage of the utterly disastrous decision to flog off all the NAMA property, right? That we had the biggest amount of real estate in the world in NAMA. It was the biggest property company in the world, and we flogged it off to investment funds who are now to a large degree are sitting on that, right? So when Frances says we've loads of planning permissions, she's absolutely right, but half of them are not moving. Nothing is happening on those planning permissions.
I'm going to take you up on your own recommendation that we don't completely rehash all that because we don't have the time in which to do it.
No one's painting Ireland as a failed state. I mean, for an awful lot of people, Ireland is a fantastic country to live in, you know, and we want to work to make it better. However, for those 3,200 children, we can't say to them, look, do you know what, your situation, we're not going to deal, because actually the majority of people in Ireland are doing okay. We need to look after the most vulnerable people in our society, because that will make a better society for everyone. And I think that's why the focus needs to be on those children, on the level of homelessness we have, and making sure that that's addressed.
Okay. To be honest, I'm conscious
that time is against us and our capacity to go any further into the topic, because we're about to hand over to Lunchtime Live. Before that, though, I do want to go back to where we started, because I want clairvoyant crystal ball territory from all of you. The likelihood of Boris Johnson being the next Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, if you were betting.
I think not, because I think even the Tories, as mad as they are, they couldn't be that mad. But
well, recent events, Jennifer.
I think the same. I think it's unlikely, but again, who knows? I mean, it's hard to predict what's going to happen.
Anything is possible in British politics, but I think it's unlikely. But if he is elected, I think you're going to go straight into a general election within a couple of weeks in the UK, because you will have so many Conservatives who are saying, we're not going to put up with this, and they go independent or possibly even resign.
It's interesting times. Frances Fitzgerald, MEP for Dublin, Vice President of the EPP Group. Jennifer Whitmore, TD for Wicklow and Spokesperson on Climate, Environment and Biodiversity. And Richard Boyd-Barrett, People Before Profit, TD for Dunleary and Spokesperson on Housing and Further Education. Thank you all very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.